Greetings, everyone. My name is Wayne Griffin with Always Reforming. This is the first episode of Always Reforming Weekly, a podcast for this channel. Thank you for everybody who's tunes in and watches the video, likes, comments. Today, this is the very first day. We have a guest, my brother, Michael Scholl from our local church. We're going to be talking about to him. The title of this podcast is The Power of God. And we're going to hear Michael's testimony and talk about the most important thing to all of us, which is the good news of Jesus Christ. Here I brought on, we have Michael Scholl here with us. He's going to introduce himself. Go ahead, Michael.
I'm Michael Scholl. I've been saved for about a year and a half now. Met Wayne at Christ the King Houston Hills. I'm from the east side of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Awesome. Thanks, Michael. We talked about this, excited to get on with you today and talk about how God saved you and how he's been working in your life, and really just to get your testimony and introduce you to people. We have a few questions lined up here for you. You see here at the bottom, we have the beginning of the episode, the thumbnail there. This is the very first episode, and we're going to try to have these each week in some form or fashion dedicated to that. Let's see here. We're going to start off. Michael, are you ready to give us your testimony?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, sounds good. So the first question I have for you is, so what was your life like before Christ?
Life was very different compared to what it is today. I lived in sexual immorality and lived in drugs and the kind of things I listened to when I watched on TV or on videos were very sensual and unholy per se. I even at one point put my relationship with now my current wife at risk, trying to do different things that we were talking about, adding another partner or having an open relationship. And actually this happened all just before I met Christ was that. And just before I met Christ, I was on the verge of committing suicide, or at least at the deepest thoughts and the weakest moment of my life was when I ended up hearing the gospel. I had no discipline and no value. I was just pulling others down with me and my lack of discipline and my lack of values, imagining that money would solve problems and adding a third party or having an open relationship would solve problems of finding joy in life. And come to find out after hearing the gospel that all I really needed was Jesus to bring my life joy and to bring value into my life.
Amen. So second question. Okay. So what happened when you were saved?
What happened when I was saved? It's an experience that I have a hard time expressing in words. The way this question is phrased, I just want to make sure I understand, is like the day I was saved, the day I met Christ. Is that how you're meaning it to go? Just to make sure I'm answering it the way you intend.
Yep. And essentially, what was the process? Like how did you come to know Christ? Essentially. Yeah.
Pastor Patrick, you know, on that day, he had an awesome sermon. Really, one of the biggest struggles I had in my life at the time also was just forgiveness, forgiving myself and others was a struggle I was dealing with.
Sure.
It definitely changed the way I viewed life. I'm walking out of church that day, a lot of things in my perspective and how I viewed things in life just kind of changed within a snap of a finger. It's an overwhelming flow of emotions that I carried that day. That's for sure.
So what was the context? Like how, like, tell us about what happened. Like what was going on? Were you at church? Were you hearing something online? Like what happened? And just a little bit more of the context of the, like what happened when you were saved.
Yeah. So the day before I went to church, I ended up running into the music leader, the worship leader, and he ended up inviting me to church the next day.
Okay.
So when I got to church, I showed up like really early too. I showed up an hour. I was there at like 9 o'clock, and I sat out in the parking lot for the first half hour in tears, not knowing why I was crying, but I was crying. I guess there was just something in me telling me that my life was going to change that day. Cause I was pretty much in tears before I came into the church. And then when I walked in there, the worship leader welcomed me in with open arms. And, you know, he said that, they ended up praying for me before the service, just praying that I'd hear the gospel. And, that's when they all started and Patrick started, you know, preaching. And he was just talking about on how, I don't remember the exact like book that he was reading at the time. But I do know that there was a passage on forgiveness and just how powerful his forgiveness was for us and just how much it changed, humanity's fate for many people, especially believers in Christ.
Amen. So as we do pretty much every week, we don't have an invitation, right? We don't invite people to come forward or anything like that, but our pastors always share the gospel. It's a call for everyone. It's a call for believers to be reminded, because we also do communion each week of what Christ has done. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes each and every Sunday. And so Pastor Patrick shares the gospel with you, and what was your response?
I accepted Jesus into my heart that day. I happened to accept Jesus in my heart that day, believing and hearing the gospel and believing in the gospel. Mm-hmm. And hearing the message that Jesus died on the cross and rose again to live a perfect life that I could not live. Me being forgiven thanks to him.
Amen. Amen. And me personally, I've seen a lot of fruit in your life, and I'm grateful to God for saving you. And we can move on to that. We have the next question we have today is, what is your life like today? And how is God continuing to make you more like Jesus?
Well, my life is definitely very different today. When it comes to lifestyle decisions and even musically, in so many different various fashions, even as a parent, God has changed me a lot. I was very, very impatient with my children, especially when I first came to Christ. And as the last year and a half has gone by, I have seen in myself a lot calmer demeanor when it comes to dealing with my children. You know, I'm not so quick to anger, but I'm quick to make sure I put away anything that they're doing bad. I make sure I'm quick to punish them in a sense, or have a conversation with them to make sure that we encourage better behavior.
Right.
My tongue is better, so I don't speak a lot of, I have noticed a lot less, even in my mind and my heart, of being angry towards people. Has been diminished quite a bit over the last year and a half. I mean, there's so many different ways that God has worked within me, even with my wife. You know, how I react to her. You know, I wasn't a very good leader of my family before Christ, and it feels that now things are turning around and I'm becoming a better leader. My family's getting in a better situation because I decided to follow God. Amen. And trust in Him to lead me.
Amen. That's praise God for all of that, right? He's definitely faithful when we're not faithful, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So as He continues to shape and grow you, and you know, the call for us as men to lead our families and lay our lives down for them. It's to lead. It's a big responsibility.
Yeah. Well, to lead is to serve as well. So
yeah. Yep. Yeah. You know, yeah. Absolutely. It's a sacrificial leading, right? It's laying your life down and being responsible. And then also seeking the Lord for His answers and submitting to elders at your local church for the grace that, you know, that God provides through wise counsel and the fellowship of other believers and their wisdom. And so continue, man. It's exciting to walk this with you.
Yes.
Let's see. So you heard the gospel, you believed, you've been a Christian now for a year and a half. Let's talk a little bit, what the gospel is, right? Because it's key for other people to hear and hear your story and of where you were and how God saved you from a really dark place in your life.
Hi.
Hey. Hello there.
I'll be inside in a minute. Hey, Bobby. I'm doing something. Give me a minute, okay, baby?
I need to be in it too.
Well, I understand you want to be in it, but not right now, okay? We'll do a video together later, all right? Okay?
No.
No? Okay. So you just want to be in it? Okay. Well, yeah. Then you're going to have to sit still.
Hi.
Okay, well, can we just go ahead and continue?
Sure, yeah. So we're going to talk about, let's see, we'll begin here. And essentially, since we're talking about, you know, the gospel and the title of our video being The Power of God. And what we're doing is we're going to just kind of walk through what scripture says about what the gospel is. So first of all, we have Paul in Romans 1:16. And he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So the gospel itself, you know, when you heard Michael, the gospel is the tool that God uses to work in the hearts of His people and to believe. So that's what we see is that, and it's for everyone. We have to the Jews, of course, you know, God's chosen people, and also to the Greek, which is all Gentiles, including you and me. And so what is the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? It's sometimes we, you know, it's very simple, and it can also, you know, be overly complicated, right? But it's very, you know, anyone, you know, it's so straightforward that even a child can believe, right? But salvation is also so difficult for people like us that only God could do it, and that He sent His Son for all of us. So let's look at what is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. So Paul's writing to the church. It says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures." And so we see there that that is the, you see that, Michael, that is a simple, clear explanation of what the gospel is, right? So he's reminding you, brother, of the gospel. This is, now I would remind you, he's reminding us here of the brothers of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So he's kind of already selling us here. So this is the gospel. If you're holding fast to this, your heart is in this message, then you believe, right? You believe truly. And so it's,
When he's saying in vain, that means like you believe in a selfish reason, right? That's what he's saying. Like, if you believe in the gospel just because you think it's going to save you instead of truly believing in your heart, that's what he's meaning by in vain, right?
I would say that's a good explanation of, unless you believed, because he, of all the miracles that he did, and that you want him to be the savior of, you know, selfish reasons, right? Things that he can do for you or overthrow the Romans, having a wrong interpretation of who the Messiah was supposed to be, right? Unless you believe, unless you believed because you wanted to be a part of this community, or unless your belief wasn't genuine saving faith, right? And that's what happened to me. You know, my personal story when I was 9 years old and repeating the sinner's prayer and going forward and baptized at age 9, I believed that I was rightfully saved, and I did what I was supposed to do. There was no ill intent as a 9 year old. But what I didn't understand is that repentance, I didn't understand repentance. And that's the message that Jesus came speaking to us, repentance and for the forgiveness of sins and understanding that who Jesus is, understanding that Jesus is God. And so that's what we see here. You know, it's a simple explaining what the gospel is. It's that, you know, for I deliver to you of first importance what I also receive. That because Paul, he was somebody persecuting the Christians. So what he also received, and when Jesus confronted him on the road to Damascus, this is the truth that, you know, when he was given revelation from Jesus Christ himself, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That is the substance of the gospel, of believing. This is the good news, that he died, and that he died and he was raised on the third in accordance with the scriptures. So a simple summary of what that is it's the work, the person and work of Jesus Christ, what he did for us, right? All right. So an important question, right, is how for us, people like you and me, before Christ, how can anyone be saved?
Well, definitely hearing the gospel, believing in the gospel, but not in vain. That's for sure. Just because you hear the gospel and you believe it in vain, there's a selfish, you know, title behind that. So believing in the gospel, not in vain. So we want to make sure that our heart truly believes, you know. Yeah. I mean, right. God's the one that truly can determine our heart and read our heart.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and that in vain is like, it's not the message. The gospel isn't, you know, come to Jesus because he can give you peace, rest, all of these things, right? That's part of it, right? But the reality is we have to recognize our need, and that we are sinners, and that repentance, and coming to God asking, you know, knowing that we're sinners is necessary. And so we have here from the scriptures, how can anyone be saved? We have Romans 10, 8 through 17. So, but what does it say? But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes and is justified. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed? What has he heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So that's that key ending point to where, like, how can anybody be saved? It's faith comes from hearing, right? Hearing what? The word of Christ, hearing the good news of what Jesus Christ has done, right? Hearing the gospel. And it also ties into a little bit of our responsibility of going and sending people. And that's, so what is the next question for us? What is God's call to us today? Right. And that's, that comes, ties into the Great Commission. We're told to, now that you've been saved, you've invited people to church, invited them to men's events. You've shared the gospel with people. You're seeking to grow in knowledge of grace of Jesus Christ to be able to love and lead and lay your life down for your family and for others, you know, other family members and things like that. So we have the Great Commission, right? So are you able to read that well?
Yeah.
Go ahead. And read
Matthew,
that.
Matthew 28:16-20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I really like how, like, in the end there, it kind of finishes, because we were talking about this the other day about how the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is within us always.
Yes.
You know, and that ending really hits me really hard, knowing that he's with me all the time, and it gives me security knowing that he's with me.
Absolutely, yeah. And God wants you to know, as it says in 1 John, that he's like, I'm writing these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. God is a good father. He wants you to know that you're his child, and he wants you to have that security so that the enemy can't just continue every time you mess up to come and say, hey, you sinned again. You don't deserve his grace. God's love can't cover that sin. It's to move you to a point of that maturity of saying, hey, there's nothing I can do to make God love me any more or less. I'm secure in him, and I'm going to go live for him. What kind of love is this? You know, that's the greatest love that there could possibly be, because, you know, God is love, and that he sends us out here. Jesus is saying, you know, and you're right here. Go therefore, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That is an important statement. Jesus is saying, I am Christ the King, right? I have all authority in heaven and on earth. Because of that, and because I've saved you and bought you with a price, you know, he's redeemed us. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of, and this is where we have our, you know, our one verse that describes who our God is, a Trinitarian God, the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, three in one, right? One God. Mm-hmm. Three eternal co-equal persons, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we also see here, we have to go, we have to tell people the good news, and we also have to teach them all that Jesus commanded. So it's not enough just to share the gospel and try to, you know, to try to invoke some type of emotional thing. You have to share the gospel and commit yourself to them, to raise them up, to disciple them, to care for them. Because Jesus, he's asked us to make disciples, not just converts, right? People just who said, oh yeah, I believe, right? That could be people.
Yeah, we don't want just believers. Right. He doesn't want just believers. He wants someone to go out and preach and talk. Well, right. Share the gospel.
Because there's no way that he wants, I mean, we're all believers, right? He wants people to believe, to trust in Christ, but we can't know if they're believing in vain or not unless we walk with them and love them and raise them up and guide them and teach them all that he's commanded. Then you'll know, once you really consider the cost of what being a Christian is, you'll recognize it's going to cost us everything, right? It costs Christ everything. It's going to cost us everything to follow him. And only if you really know Jesus will you say, Christ is worth it all. He's worth any hardship that comes. He's worth it all. And that's how we create disciples, by really laying our life down for them and walking with them. It takes time, but
that's even facing,
yes,
facing any kind of turmoils you might have, you know, for even for some of the public street teachers, you know, when they go out and they go out in the streets of New York City and they're bashed and harassed. And, you know, it's just like, well, it's worth it because they know that the love of Christ is with them always. And the Spirit is with them always, you know, and knowing that at the end of the time, they're there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yep. God is with them at all times. And that's, it's worth it. So as we wrap up here, thanks again, Michael, agreeing to begin this journey of the purpose of this podcast is to engage God's word in order that Michael and I can both be growing and constantly having our thoughts and our actions and our lives and our ideas reformed according to God and his word. So we're trying to be continually being reformed and transformed by God's grace, his word, and bringing in everything back to scripture, God's perfect word that he gave us. And so that God can use it to bless others, to convict others, to grow in knowledge. And so we're going to have some questions and different texts over these, the next coming weeks and in the future. And the idea is that we can all be growing together for Christ. It's all for his glory and none of ours. We hope that it's the gospel that is remembered, not Michael, not myself, but just the what God is, how he's working in his people, what he's done throughout history, and what he's going to continue to do. And the promise is that he's given his people as a loving father for each of us. So the call for all of us really is to go love, obey, and serve Christ, the King. He really is. He's done everything for us. And by knowing him, seeking to know him in his word, that's we're and to really, that is, it's tied to knowing who he is, loving him and obeying his words. That's teaching people to commands, and also to going and serving, whatever that may be. It could be just loving your wife, and that's obeying and serving the local church and being a member of it and all of these things. So you have any final comments, Michael, about what we've discussed today?
No, not today.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks again, man.
Let's go ahead and just finish off with a prayer, or you want to do that afterwards?
Yep. Why don't you go ahead and pray for us? Close us out. Alrighty. And we'll talk about what we're doing next time.
All righty. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together, for an opportunity for us to share the gospel and dialogue with one another. Thank you for Wayne and his time. Just thank you for the time and family and church family. Thank you for Jesus and the gift of eternal salvation through him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. Start for next week. We have the next episode is going to be, what is salvation? We're answering that question. Have you ever thought about that question? Can you answer it right now? You got time. You got a week before we discuss it next time. For anybody who's watching and listening, what is salvation? Sometimes it's a It seems like such a simple question. We talk about salvation. We love it. We're grateful for Christ for it. We're going to talk about what it is to just help us grow an understanding of what exactly God has done for us. So coming up next week, tune in, subscribe, share this with other people, that Michael's testimony and all the work that God's doing can impact them. And thank you for watching. Subscribe, share, comment below if you have anything to say or you have any topics that you might see in the future. Thanks again, Michael, and we'll talk to everybody next time. Take care.